Morning, I'm going to cover a topic that kind of highlights some of the things that were actually done about 15 years ago and some of the questions it kind of raised in my mind about whether it was still relevant. And that's the impact of cotton defoliation on yield and quality. And I'd like to recognize the contributors, Zach Eater, Dan Frommey, and Dale Mott that contributed to this. So in the Cotton Harvest Management Use and Influence of Harvest Aids Guide, put out by the Cotton Foundation back in 2001. There was quite a bit of work done on defoliation. It's a very, very good book if any of you want it. And again, it was put out by the Cotton Foundation, so I know a lot of you can get a hold of it probably at no or relatively low cost. But within that, it has basically the history of cotton defoliation, kind of where it's come from and kind of where it's going. And again, it was published in 2001. But one of the most intriguing things to me reading this book was the factors influencing net returns to cotton harvest aids by Larson and English, both economists at University of Tennessee. And kind of the point I wanted to look at was, you know, I started to work really in cotton as far as cotton defoliation in about 2009, and the learning curve's been pretty steep. And going out into the field with company folks and distributors and even producers, it was always the mentality that we had to have, you know, 95%+ defoliation. As I read this book, it was nearly completely contradictory to the research, was nearly completely contradictory to what I was hearing in the field. So I'm kind of going to go over these first few slides, kind of rehash some of the things they did back in the late 90s when cotton prices were low, much as they are today, and they were looking at the economics of cotton production or cotton defoliation. Again, some work done there in the late 90s with some of the various treatments listed there. Kind of hard to see here, but you can see that and the associated rate. So to give you an idea, the Folex rate there, if I calculated it correctly last night, it's about 24 fluid ounces and drops at 3.2 fluid ounces. And you can see the price per acre at that point in time, which was 1999. And then I figured the current prices for 2012 based on some information I collected back in the fall. And that does include both the product and also an aerial application of that product. So we can see prices for something like Folex is actually, or something comparable to that, has gone up. Drop, of course, is no longer a patented product, and the price of it has actually dropped quite a bit. But like a Folex prep combination or even a drop prep combination, there's not a whole lot of difference than it was back in 1999, so nearly 15 years ago. So I apologize for the quality of this, but basically I had to insert the treatments there on the left because they just had treatment numbers, and it's a lot easier for me to follow a product through rather than try to remember what number was associated with it. But this was something that was very intriguing to me. Basically, this was done in five locations in the southeast and also five locations in the Delta region. And I'm just going to show the Delta region because it's kind of in the middle of between Texas and that southeast. And anyway, looking at the yields there for those various treatments, the control was untreated, and you can see the various defoliation methods. And to give you a reference point, the defoliation levels for these ranged anywhere from about 60 to about 85%, and the control was somewhere around 25% due to natural senescence. But looking through this, in many situations, there was no yield benefit to putting on a cotton defoliant, which again goes completely contrary to everything that I was, you know, hearing in the field. There are a few exceptions in Tennessee. You can see some of the Harvade plus prep or the drop plus prep were significant. And at Louisiana, the Folex plus prep was significantly different. And this is what really, another thing that really surprised me, and I apologize for the word Missouri being cut off there, but these are basically the loan value, including premiums and discounts, of that lint that came from those same trials. And you can see maybe there's a slight numerical advantage in some situations of the defoliants over the control of the untreated check, but it's not real consistent. And that really surprised me, knowing how much leaf material goes through a spindle picker into a basket. And so Dr. Larson and English put the complete economics on this, I think with the exception of harvest efficiency. So they put the product price in here and basically the net return or the gross return to figure out the total net return and benefit for the foliation applications. And you can see in many situations it was a complete wash as to whether you actually gained money from putting on a cotton defoliant. Again, the exception probably in Tennessee where they had a drop plus prep where they gained, you know, $108, but there's also the other extreme where in something like Louisiana at a Folex plus prep they were down $79. So, and some of the other summary of the lint quality items that were looked at by Valco and others, again reported in this reference book, using APHIS and HVI analysis of the fiber, they found no differences among dimension defoliation treatments. There were no differences among the defoliation treatments as far as lint quality goes. Looking at untreated versus some of the defoliation applications, defoliants reduced trash, micronair was slightly reduced with the defoliant application, and color improved with the defoliation application. But you saw the economics of the return as far as the loan value goes, and there what didn't pan out a whole lot of difference there. No difference in white specs, net strength, length, or uniformity in defoliated versus non-defoliated. And then the other comment that was made is ginning and lint cleaning tended to normalize differences in trash content. So again, that's in one of the chapters of this book also. So basically the objective of the study that we were looking at was, well, is this still the case? Our plants are bigger, our yields are higher. It wasn't done in growing conditions similar to Texas. So I took some of the graduate students' information, dug into it just a little bit more, kind of a side project, side data that he was using. He wanted to evaluate the impact of cotton defoliation level on cotton leaf grade yield and gin turnout. We used what's typical, standard replicated complete block design, 4 reps. Defoliants were applied at 15 GPA, usually somewhere around 60 to 70% open bowl. Treatments were rated 17 and 14 days after application. All samples were ginned through a miniature gin in Lubbock, Texas, which had one lint cleaner on it. And just, I wanted to give you an idea here of some of the treatments that we did put out the first year. We did this 2010, 2011, 2012. The first year we had 20 treatments, defoliation treatments, trying to get a range of defoliation levels. I had an untreated in there. We had some desiccants in there, trying to get a range of defoliation, desiccation in these plots. And you can see the various rates there. And in many cases, we were quite effective with up to, you know, 90% defoliation 14 days after treatment. And that was usually the day before we picked these plots. And then, we had the untreated in there with basically no defoliation. So this is what we found as far as leaf grade goes, and Zach Eater, who had a presentation on this yesterday, went into a lot more depth. But I just wanted to show here there was basically no relationship between leaf grade and percent defoliation, which, again, that still surprises me. Zach's found some variety responses more so than the defoliation or desiccation. I'm just going to show you a few plots here. This is a plot we had in Matagorda County. You can see some of the treatment effects we had in there. This was the 16 treatment defoliations, including untreated and various desiccants and defoliants in there. So you can see the checkerboard effect there. We got quite a bit of differences in these plots. This just gives you a reference what the untreated looked like. And this was one of the more tame untreated plots or locations. One row has been picked here, but I'd call that kind of moderate defoliation. Then you can see we had some plots that were completely defoliated. And then we had some where we applied a high rate of gramoxone, and we had a lot of desiccation going on. But that was, again, one of the things we were wanting to see. So we had a total of six site years from 2010 through 2012. And I'll take a little bit. The locations are on the left there in the years. And then as we go across, basically, that indicates whether there was a significant difference. We had significant difference in our treatments. So essentially, as you would expect, our defoliation treatments were significant at all locations. We had significant desiccation at five of the six locations. But now focusing on what the topic of this presentation is, the yield, gen turnout, and leaf grade, essentially two out of the six locations, there was a significant yield response to defoliation. So 30% of the time did we see a significant response to defoliation. Gen turnout was never significant, and leaf grade was never significant. Take a little bit of time here. On the left, we have lint yields. On the bottom, we have percent defoliation for those same six trials, but I just wanted to kind of give you a better visual of what it looked like. So this bottom one here, the little gray squares, that was in Burleson County in 2011, where we had low yields due to drought primarily. And that's one of those locations where we actually had a significant response to defoliation, where yields were actually a little bit better the higher the defoliation level. And then the other one was in in Colorado County in 2010, where we had plants about this tall, but we had relatively low yields. So we had a lot of plant matter going through that picker, but not a lot of lint going through there. So those are the 2 years that we had a significant response. Defoliation significantly affected yield. But all the other ones, you can see there was no impact at all. And it may even be a stretch to say that defoliation had a lot of impact there on yield. Kind of the take-home message from this graph to me, if you're anywhere definitely 60% above in defoliation, there's no yield response to that. So summarizing the Texas trials, cotton defoliation positively impacted yield at 33% of the locations. Did not affect leaf grade or gen turnout. However, there are a lot of other considerations to be thought about when we're talking about, you know, defoliation. One is harvest efficiency. One of the pickers we used to pick this are, you know, they're not they were top of the line about 50 years ago, so they don't have a lot of power associated with them. And you could tell when you went into those plots that had, you know, a lot of leaf matter still in there. So obviously there's a harvest efficiency associated with it. And this graph here, which is out of that same book, shows basically the acres harvested per hour versus the harvest cost. So basically the longer you're in the field, obviously the higher the costs are. There's also a big concern about getting too much moisture in a module or in a round bale. I think it'd particularly be concerning if you were putting a lot of leaf matter in those through a round bale picker and it being wrapped up really tight. And then also I think the other thing to consider versus what our colleagues were thinking of even 15 years ago is fiber quality is probably much more important now than it was then, considering we were more or less in a domestic market for our cotton lint then. Now we're in an export market where the standards are higher and the expectations are higher for our cotton fiber quality. So basically the recommendations that I have based on what we found here is select your harvest aid treatments based on your experience and unbiased recommendations. I mean, there are a lot of folks out there that say you have to have 100% defoliation in order to get the best fiber quality and the best yield. And based on what I've seen through this trial, and again, at least 16 site years done back in the late 90s, that's not the case. I mean, do we need to have good defoliation? I would say yes, but do we need to have perfect defoliation? I think the answer is no. And considering the situation we're in as far as relatively low cotton prices and relatively high input costs, this may be one opportunity where you could maybe not go in and make that second application, taking it from 85% to 100%. Maybe it's best save that money and use it elsewhere. So I would say choose your harvest aid program based on product and application cost and product efficiency, remembering complete defoliation is not necessary to maintain fiber quality or yield. And I just want to show here one of the costs we had as far as some of the trials we put out typically every year, looking at some of the various defoliation products, where basically we have prices as low as, you know, this is just product, but, you know, $360 per acre, which has shown in our trials to be usually anywhere from 70 to 80% efficacy at $4 an acre, versus some of the more expensive ones in there that are up to, you know, $11, $12 per acre. So with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions. I think the main point that I just wanted to make and the curiosity I had is do we need to have 100% defoliation in order to maintain our fiber quality? And I would say the answer is no. I think if we're somewhere in that, I would shoot for probably that 85% range, but if we're somewhere even 70 or above, it's probably not going to have a big impact on the quality of the fiber and even the yields coming out of those fields. So I'll be happy to answer any questions anyone has.
Any questions for Dr. Morgan?
All right. I'll be around if anyone has any questions. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.